Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, people out there on this square, the part of the country I'm at anyhow. I know the East Coast and the West Coast are getting a lot of white stuff, especially the West Coast. The very far northeast of this country is getting some snow and cold. What's happened in California, I've never witnessed in my life the amount of snow they're getting and houses, roofs of houses collapsing. And that does happen with the weight of snow. Some places where the houses have a very low pitch or angle, but I mean, it's predominant out there. But anyhow, we're having a wonderful winter day today. It's 50 degrees and sunshine and clear and not a bit humid and not a heavy wind. So just thank God, and I mean that literally. When Raven comes on, we're going to pray, and we're going to start with John chapter 14, continuing our three. We're in the first chapter of Jesus talking specifically of the benefits of the Holy Spirit and the impossibility of trying to live in angst or grieving the Holy Spirit, trying to live for what man tells you to do and never going to the Holy Spirit, which I think is the root cause problem of the seriousness that the nation is in, because the church has been in it for a long time. We have totally given up the desire. And once we give up the desire to have the Holy Spirit be our number one source, I didn't say you don't go to man. If I said don't go to man, then I'd be demanding that you hang your phone up now and don't listen to this program. But you only go to man as I am giving you the scripture for the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with John 14:15 just to bring us up on the promise of the Holy Spirit and bring us currently and be in the same context that we ended last week. But we're going to go 15 through 18, and then 19 will start the new our new subject matter. Hold on just a moment. Okay, Raven, go ahead and welcome to the program, and go ahead. If you have nothing, words of wisdom yet, let's just say an opening prayer for the topic we're going to be talking about probably for most of the, most of the rest of the winter and the and springtime, and that is John 14, 15, and 16, which is where I think the churches started years ago to go wrong when they decided they got to go to man for interpretation of God's word that rather than God. So go ahead and pray, and we'll get rolling.
Lord, we are so very thankful that we have your word to go to. There are many, including us, we have all strayed from your word at some time or another and still continue to do so at times, thinking that somehow we can come up with the answer when you give us every answer that we could possibly want in your word if we will just seek it out. Lord, we just ask right now that every answer that we could want today, every true answer for our lives, that it would show in the study that we go through today from your word, that those who are listening, that they would listen and understand that if they want to know the truth, that they can seek it out through prayer and study of your word. We love you, and we give everything in our lives over to you. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and just the promise of the Holy Spirit. I know we're going to start the new material of John 14:19, but just to bring us to the context, let's read 15 through 18, and then we'll start with new material in the next of the context.
All right. John 14, starting in verse 15. All right.
Yeah,
if you
and then
love
we'll, 18, we'll, 19 will start the rest of what we where we stopped last week.
All right. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth.
Now that is
whom
key.
The world.
That is key. That is key forever.
Yes, amen. Forever. You know, when we read that last week, I know we're, this is last week's, but still, when we read that last week, I read that as something that I thought, you know, I've never noticed that before. It's forever. He doesn't say, until you come to be with me. He says, forever. So that says to me, this is, we're going to have the Holy Spirit helping us, not just until we go to be with God, but for eternity.
Now, that brings up a question that borders on absolute insanity, but we know it's the main theme song of the Church of Laodicea. If God is going to, the Holy Spirit naturally has to be in heaven. That's obvious.
Right.
I don't even think in today's age of apostasy in the churches anyone would deny that. His function, as we read these three chapters of 14, 15, and 16, is to help us, to open the words of Scripture up, give us more meaning, the depth of the meaning of the mind of Christ. Now, just think of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're even going to have that in heaven. We're going to have to rely on him, number one, as our go-to source for the opening of the infinite treasures of the mind of God. And we're going to have a new mind and a new body. And that new body is going to be perfect. But the new mind is going to be perfect, too. Now, if we're going to have that in heaven, just think, and no matter how cynical people are, you and I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit says it in three different chapters here.
Mm-hmm.
How could we? How could we, if we've got two brain cells connecting, two, and there's billions of them, at least before we start drinking heavy, how could we, if we just have one that connects with another, think that we can get by on this earth by relying on Carl, on Carl's wisdom, separate from the Holy Spirit? The only reason, folks, that you go to myself or anyone else is we are pointing you to the words of the Holy Spirit who inspired every word in the New and Old Testament, and that's in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Why? If we're going to have him opening what he's going to be promised to us forever to do the function that Jesus takes three chapters in John to tell, why? If we need that in heaven, why do we worship men? We're no different than they were the 10th. They're no different than we were on the 10th apostate of Israel. After 450 years, they finally told Samuel, I don't want this God to rule over me. I want a man. And we're no different.
Yeah. That's right.
It's unbelievable.
That's right.
I mean, when you just said that about forever, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. If I'm going to have that when I've got a perfect mind and a perfect body, how can I be so stupid on this? But we do. We build denominations out of who we worship.
Yeah.
Or the only ones we'll listen to. As you so, I don't know what the word to use, proverb or pronoun or adverb, brought up the other night, that some people even worship the color of ink that a Bible is written in.
Yeah, Yes, yes, exactly. I love how you just put that.
I mean,
they
folks,
worship
this
color of ink, yes.
Well, they don't really say they do, and they would deny that, and maybe they don't think they worship it. But why do we put our faith in anything other than what the Holy Spirit says? That's my point.
Yes, but no, but
that
you're right,
Carl.
That is my
whole point.
You're right. They do worship the color of ink because they don't know anymore. They don't know any more than I do. We go 100% by faith. The words in red are the words of Christ. We believe that. We believe that, right? Okay.
Yeah,
so
well, in most places it does say Jesus says this, but go ahead.
Right.
Keep going.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that they believe that those words in red are Christ's words, and I believe that as well.
Oh,
but
I do too. Absolutely.
Right,
yeah,
but what
ahead.
I'm saying is that they're saying that everything else in the New Testament, they can't believe it because it's not written in red. It's
okay,
not Christ's words. It's not
Raven. They don't actually say that. That is the implication.
Oh, I've had people say that to me. Oh
okay,
no, I've had
not.
People say
okay.
that to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've had people say to me that they don't follow anything else in the New Testament. All they follow is Christ's words. Period.
Well, there's a whole there is a denomination. I don't remember which of the ones of all the abused names that only read the red.
Okay. Well, this is people who have actually said straight up to me, and these have been several people, that listen, we don't follow anything except for what is written in red, just Christ's word.
Well, you know what, Raven, I can understand that because the city on our probably biggest highway, our local road, it goes from east to west, west to east, and it's probably the northernmost road that is a through road. At a particular church, they told me, don't come back with the NIV Bible anymore. So,
oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, but again, folks, we have turned, there's just a massive thought that when you said that and emphasized forever, and you said again forever, how could we? Again, if I only have two brain cells connecting out of billions, how can we possibly ignore it now?
Right.
It's so incongruous that even if I were an atheist, I'd just come off of some spaceship that was supposed to be in San Diego 30 years ago to pick these people up when they swallowed this poisonous medicine or whatever. I have to say, folks, I don't understand the logic of what you're saying.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know,
my
point there is that, you know, if you feel that you can't believe anything else in Scripture because you're saying, well, it wasn't written by Christ, well, the whole Bible is said to be written by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe any of it because you say it wasn't written by Christ, well, how do you believe anything else?
Let me turn
that back around. That's not what I meant. If you don't
believe, I like it. I like what you said.
Yeah, if you don't believe if you don't believe the rest of the Bible because you say that it wasn't written by Christ, how do you believe the words in red? Because everything is written by the Holy Spirit. Everything is given by the Holy Spirit.
But if they're saying that to you, they either don't believe the Holy Spirit knows what the blue blazes is going on, which are people who said that God doesn't. In fact, I remember hearing people say years ago and still do that when Abraham, God said, now I know you love me, when he was willing to sacrifice. They say that God didn't know that. God didn't know. He was unsure. I mean, and again, in this, if you just think about a little bit of later tonight, our Sunday night, when you create a doubt of any kind, goal, feasting on that, your goal is to not believe the Bible.
Yes.
Think of that.
Exactly.
There's no other reason to doubt the Bible. Okay.
That's right.
And I know
that's
I'm
right. And that's
ahead,
that's my whole point.
Absolutely.
Right. But
and
that's
I realize
my whole
that.
Point. Yeah.
I understand.
That's my whole point. If you want to doubt, if you want to doubt even one verse, then you're doubting all of it. You're doubting
why
all of it. And if you doubt,
why would you look to Raymond? Why would you look to?
Yes, exactly.
That's the point
and if
that
you want to
me
doubt,
more than the fact that, that bothers me more the motive as to why they want to do it.
That's exactly it.
Because you're treading on thin ice, folks.
Yes. Yes. Because the only one, think of it, who wants to create doubt? The same one that wanted to create doubt back in Genesis.
And
that's where doubt comes from.
And that was the first temptation ever given.
Yes. Because that little bit of doubt that sneaks in there and puts a wedge in between you and God, that little bit of doubt, that is what causes you to walk away from faith completely. And that little tiny bit, all it has to be is the size of a splinter, the tiniest little bit of doubt, that will cause you to walk away from God completely.
And you know, you,
that's
you
all
define
you need.
That, or you, you explain that as the tiniest little doubt. Actually, Satan in Genesis 3:1 did not give her anything specific to doubt other than the God's word is not true.
Yep. And that's exactly what these people are saying.
You're saying it well. You're saying it well.
And that's exactly what these people are saying. God's word is not true.
Yes. You're
that's
right.
Exactly what they're saying. God's word is not true. I only want to believe this part. Well,
amen.
When you're choosing what part you want to believe and you're saying, I only believe this part or I don't believe 1 Corinthians, let me get to it. I don't believe 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that talks about spiritual gifts. I'm going to choose not to believe that part. Okay, well, that's up to you.
Raven, it opens up all the denominations we got. Now, I'm not saying
that's
the denominations are evil inherently.
Right, yeah.
I'm not saying they're inherently, but where people take it to the fact that we only read the red ink.
Yep.
Hey, in this day and age, when you can't even get medical appointments scheduled properly, and you're going to tell me that it's not possible if somebody left a verse or two out that should have been red or it should have been black, and they, you know, I mean, it's just ludicrous. I've unfortunately, due to health issues, I've been in touch with many, many, many people in the medical field recently, and some of the ones that are the most bloodied up in this day and age are the office staff, the administrative people who are working 14, 15 hours a day. And I know of three or four of them and my own daughter and granddaughter who are in the medical field. And they are at the point of losing their mind because no matter how hard they work, they can't take care of all the customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, what I'm saying here, and they can't cover up all the things and miscommunication that are being done wrong by the people who know nothing more medically than what computer button to push. And they're making life miserable for each other. I mean, It just amazes me, though, how we could put our faith in a color. Now, people say, we never said that.
Right.
Okay, you didn't. I've never heard it.
Right.
But that's just like when I used to worship and pray to the angels and saints. And people mm-hmm. always said to me, or I always told people, I'm only using that as a symbol when I pray. Beloney. B-E-L-O-N-E-Y, or however you want to spell it. I was
right.
truly praying to angels and saints, but I did not want to. I knew people had a point when they said that, and I said, no, that's just, I just used a statue or a picture to guide me. Nonsense. That was a no
yeah.
unadulterated lie. We're doing the
you
same
know what,
thing,
Carl?
Folks. We're,
I'm glad you said that. I'm so glad
not
that
me.
You brought
not
that
me,
up.
Not me, because I don't have a vendetta against Roman Catholicism, because I was...
I know.
I was... When I came here in 66, I left the Roman Catholic priesthood in the northern suburbs of New York City.
I
didn't
leave.
I wasn't a priest. I left the study, and so I'm not knocking Catholics.
Right.
Go ahead.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is I like that you made that mention, and now you're saying, listen, it's not just about them, because we know that it's not
no,
just.
No, it's not. Hey. There is no Catholic
yeah.
sin. There is no Jewish sin. There is no Lutheran sin. There is no Methodist sin.
There
is no Islamic sin. Everything is because
yeah.
we don't believe in Jesus Christ, and that's John 16:9.
That's exactly right. I had someone on Facebook get angry with me the other day because
Raven, let me interrupt you today. Pastor Rand was on a roll today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he promises that if you're going to stay faithful to Christ, even maybe in the next year, it's going to cost
mm-hmm.
you from the church. They're going to be, he went, oh, that sermon today, the church is going to be the one persecuting you.
Yes. Yes. And that's what it was. Someone got upset because,
oh, yeah.
you know, because one person made a comment about stuff going on in the church with, you know, I don't know, it was a mention about garbage going on. And I said, well, that's because in general, most of the churches anymore are just about money. And, oh, my gosh, this woman just threw a great big fit and said I was rude
well,
and mean.
You, because you, Raven, because you hit a sore spot.
Yes. Yes, and that's exactly it. She was from this big church who, you know, that's what they were. They were all about money, and she didn't like it. You know, and what have you done for ministry? And, other, you know,
oh,
here's
I've
the
been,
thing.
I've been through that. I've been through that.
Yeah.
Well,
I just wasn't going to I wasn't going to engage, though. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just silly for me to engage. And
where Rand started today was in Acts chapter, I believe it was 7. Where Paul gave the thumbs up to kill Stephen.
Yeah.
Paul, who became Paul, who wrote 70%, not wrote it. He authored, or he wrote down 70% of the New Testament as the Holy Spirit guided him.
Yes, right.
And he was saying that the church, religion, there is religion
yeah.
within a church, even if there are believers. And the religious people, as they did with Stephen, the
right.
religious people in the church, Paul was number two in Judaism, and he was the one
right.
killing Christians. And he said, folks, we're having it happen today in this country. You better wake up.
Yeah.
And that's where
exactly.
we're going to get persecution. In the beginning, we're going to get persecution from the church. Now, the difference in the Great Tribulation is the church is now going to have the full sanction and the full weight of Satan and his man on earth, the Antichrist, to carry out this. But in the beginning, just the church. And he said another good thing. The church has always been persecuting those of faith, going back to Cain and Abel.
Yes. Yes. But nobody
so
wants to believe that.
So am I surprised you're getting unloaded on? I'd be disappointed if we didn't. Like David Wilkerson said, If you're not getting persecuted, you better check out whether you're part of the problem.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody wants to hear that, though. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to believe. They want to believe that Christianity is all, you know, sweetness and light and, you know, blessings and prosperity and all that kind of thing. You know what? If that's where you're at, if you are believing that, you know, everything is beautiful and perfect and wonderful when you become a Christian, and if that's how you're living, if you're just, you know, going back and forth, you know, once a week to church and everything is beautiful, you better check yourself.
That was
I mean, I'm serious.
And this is a Southern Baptist minister all his life. His father was a minister all his life. But he he did something that was interesting. As most of them do, he didn't get up and tell 10 minutes of jokes, which are stupid jokes. He immediately went to the scripture and proved everything he was saying.
Right. Well, this is mostly what mine was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday one, if you remember, was about this as well.
Amen.
It's like,
but Raven,
he and I are often on the same. It's funny.
Well, you are, because you're listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not that him and you are mental telepathy. I just got, and you know, I run these errands for someone in a nursing facility, and the man is in there, not capable of taking care of himself, but before something happened, and I don't know what, I'm not medically qualified to even give an opinion, he had to be a genius, because he has this 78-page book that I had to have printed up at Office Max, where he's explaining the theory of relativity of Einstein with the equations, and then he goes into this thing that we can have mental telepathy and transfer thought energy based on the fact that there is the perpetual motion machine. And if anybody's even spent one day in physics class, there are no perpetual motion machines in the natural. But anyhow, my point is.
Who said this?
That I'm getting these books that I run back and forth two hours. It's not that you and Pastor Rand have mental telepathy, as people believe in.
Right.
It's certainly not based on the fact that the premise that there is a perpetual motion. There's nothing in this world perpetual motion that I'm aware of. As long as you're in the atmosphere where there's friction from molecules. In fact, if anybody ever saw the movie about 8-9 years ago, which was fantastic, about these three colored ladies that didn't have any computers. They did it all in their head, and they actually calculated for John Glenn. When he made his first, and he didn't go, he just went up and out of the atmosphere and came back. And John Glenn, and this is a true story, John Glenn was listening to all the engineers, and he got so fed up with them, he went to this three ladies from Mississippi, Afro-American ladies. And I just watched a little video on it last night, and he told them, he said, he told the people at NASA, unless you go by her mathematics she's worked out with pencil and paper, I'm not going up. Because he knew that in our Earth's atmosphere, even where the air is very light, there is friction. Friction causes heat. Heat create at that speed, that heat would have burned him to death in a heartbeat. So this man is basing his whole idea on the thought that there is no friction somewhere on this earth. Now, his ideas don't hold water because his premise is wrong. But so many people believe in mental telepathy. All I'm saying, it's not that you and this Pastor Rand have mental telepathy. You're guided by the Holy Spirit, which immediately makes you an enemy, with the church that he was preaching that's going to persecute you right now. He wasn't talking about when the Antichrist comes.
Yeah.
We're there, folks. Why can't people want us? Why can't people acknowledge it? The reason is we don't want to.
Right, exactly.
And you're telling me, that in John 14:16, in red, it says he may abide with you forever. But we don't need him now. We need Pastor Carl, or we need Charismatic Carl in Bible study. Folks, don't ever even think of my name or my program again unless I give you verses to document everything. Unless I use the Holy Spirit's words, everything I tell you is garbage, and anyone else tells you. If they really believe it and they're guided by it, you won't be bashful about quoting the verses. Why should I take on that responsibility of justifying what the Holy Spirit says or Jesus says when I can very easily give you the verses? Because most of the preaching today, folks, and again, do like Paul did, thumbs down to kill me. Much of the preaching today, folks, is on the wisdom of men, not on the power of God, the faith in that.
So true.
We haven't even started. We spent 31 minutes. So let's go ahead and read 18 and 19. In fact, 18, and then we'll start with 19. New stuff.
All right. You know what? I didn't read verse 17 yet, so let me read that because important.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Now, let me direct
this is so
you
important,
somewhere.
Carl.
Being you think it's important, let's expound on that theory. Again, I don't want to say one thing without the Holy Spirit explaining it.
Yeah.
I want you to go to 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to read chapter, go to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I want
verse
you to
14.
Start. Nope, that's the end of it. I want you to read from 11. No, go from 10 through 13, and then we'll do 14. And just listen to this, folks. This is not Raven thinking of this.
All right. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
And that Spirit she's talking about, folks, is capital S, meaning it's not the Spirit of Carl or some other ding-dong who doesn't know up from down, east from west. This is the Spirit of God, capital S. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
And all of the other references, Spirit she's going to give you, is going to be capital S.
Exactly. In other words, I could have put in there, for the Holy Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things
go
of God.
Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it, because the capital S is referring to a proper noun.
That's right. Yes.
So go ahead.
For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God.
That's a small S. That's a small S.
The spirit of the world.
The spirit of the world. Okay, now the next statement you're going to make is a large S.
Yes, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is so obvious, Carl. He says the
it
Holy
is,
Spirit.
Raven, but Paul, it is, but even the church doesn't believe it because they're pushing every one of their own patron saints.
Yes.
And I'm
absolutely.
Only here. When I say the church, I'm not saying your church or your pastor, because I'm just telling you, this gentleman named I won't even mention his first name, Pastor Rands, R-A-N-D-S. He hit us right between the eyes today in a Southern Baptist denomination, and he is talking about this, and he is talking about the church persecuting the true believers who are following the Holy Spirit, not men like Paul. And then he dropped another bomb, and he does it about once or twice a month. Your baptism by water has nothing to do with saving your soul. And I could hear the little plastic pill holders opening up while people pop nitroglycerin. And I'm only exaggerating there.
Right.
I'm exaggerating.
Right. I know you are,
okay.
But.
And
yeah.
I give
yeah.
this man
I know you
so
are,
much
but...
credit. Yep. But I give him so much credit. In fact, if anybody ever wants to look him up, his name is Jeremy Rands, because I'm not criticizing. When I criticize what people do, I do not give their names. But this man, I can't believe it. He's just so glued to the scripture. But go ahead.
Okay. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand, like it says, but the Spirit who is from God, and I'm saying the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that you understand that this is capital S, Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God.
And watch the Holy Spirit. What is he doing? He wants us to know the things that God freely has given to us.
Yes.
You don't have to buy Carl's $350 study guide, which I don't have.
You know, it's interesting here because as I'm reading this, he says, you know, it says that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. And I could be wrong. This is an opinion here. But I think that the Holy Spirit will always be like living in us, you know, and through us, so that it may be a way for us to sort of always communicate instantly with God, just as he does now through the Holy Spirit.
You know what?
Does that make sense?
You're right, but let me give you a couple of verses to read, and we'll see exactly. Go to Luke 24. This is what's going to happen.
Okay.
But even though we're in heaven with a new mind, a like Christ, we're going to have the mind of Christ, but we're not going to know what he knows. But read Luke 24, 30 through 32. This is what you're pointing at. Let's go to the Bible for what you mean.
Okay. Now, it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?
There you go. The Holy Spirit is going to be doing that. Why? Because even though we've got a perfect mind, the mind of God is infinite. We're going to be all eternity learning. Think of that.
Yeah. Yes.
No,
yes.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right where I want to go. Yep.
Okay.
You're
all
right,
so let me get back to here.
Yep,
all right.
First Corinthians.
These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Yes. Comparing spiritual things
and Raven,
with spiritual.
Raven, I can give you churches and people you know that have preached from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life and Church. And another very good Bible teacher that I've spent a lot of money on his huge hardbound commentaries, but people preach and ministers have taught Bible studies and preach from his commentary rather than the Bible.
Right.
We're bizarre.
Right, absolutely.
And yet we say... We do the same thing that I did as a praying to Mary and the saints. Oh, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not. No, Christ is number one. No, it's not. Why would you preach a sermon? No, let's do a Bible study from a – now, you want to use a commentary to justify – not justify, but to give an explanation of Scripture where it is enhancing the truth and validity of the Holy Spirit over man, do that. But
right.
Again, Raven, the Protestant churches are doing the same thing I was accused of back in the, I'll tell you, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. No, mid-80s, because
yeah.
in the mid-80s I went to a Bible preaching church. But it's the same
mm-hmm.
thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
We want men
yeah.
to rule us. 1 Samuel
yeah.
8:6. We want a king. We don't want God ruling over us anymore. We ain't changed.
Yeah.
Pardon my grammar or my incorrect
yeah.
English.
Well, you hear,
right.
you see people that are, you know, God, country, and family. No, that's not what they think. They think country, family, and then God somewhere down there along the line.
Well,
you know,
God's going to come after, and most churches, folks, God comes after money. You don't believe that? Read Revelation 3:17.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
And he's speaking to churches,
yep.
not to an idiot like you and I. Okay?
Yeah.
Read 13 again and then 14.
All right. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, I have I have a verse next to this. Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16, comparing spiritual 16.
Okay. Hold on.
The Spirit him okay.
Hold on.
Yep.
I had a chance run in with a guy from Cleveland yesterday, Raven, and he's so close to the things you're talking about. Go ahead.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
And that's one of the verses he brought up yesterday to me.
Ah, yes. Yes, and this
is
how it works.
Someday, it's not a very long thing. His name is Dennis
mm-hmm.
George. And I had the fortune of speaking to him for about 20 minutes. And he
mm-hmm.
He visits two penitentiaries and does his ministry in those each week, is what I gathered.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the Cleveland area. And his heart rate would go right along with what you're saying, because a lot of these verses he was throwing to me, and I couldn't believe that there's someone who really trusts the Holy Spirit above their church or their denomination or their favorite pastor or even an idiot like me who can't even help myself.
And that's
refreshing. So refreshing.
Have to allow the Holy Spirit to bear witness with our spirit. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that verse is exactly
yeah,
the verse he brought up, Romans 8:16.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he will do that.
Oh, if your faith is in Christ, and that's what we're going to end
this
thing.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
So now read verse 14.
But the natural man
is the unsaved man. He's the unsaved man.
Right.
He doesn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right. And this is also what Romans 8:16 refers to. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this is the problem, you see. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God.
Raven, again, I know your father was a big football fan. So you got to at least understand vaguely what I'm talking about. When the quarterback
mm-hmm.
comes up to the line of scrimmage, he looks over the defensive alignment. He then speaks very loudly so his whole team understands the play is going to change.
Yeah.
It's just that a defensive team doesn't have the key to understanding the words he's saying. That's no different.
Yeah.
An unsaved person hears the same person Raven is. But they just don't have the wherewithal to understand it.
Yeah,
I love that analogy. I love that analogy. The analogy of a quarterback calling what they call it an audible. And he's there, and he's screaming these signals out so his team hears them above the crowd. The defensive team hears them, but they don't know what he's talking about.
Like you say, they don't know that code. They don't know the code.
That's right. And this, and verse 14 is it. And the code is faith in Christ. But go ahead with 14.
Yeah. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Spiritually discerned. And that's
Romans 8:16. That's Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Yeah, spiritually discerned. And that's why you have people that will say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. That's because you don't have the Spirit of God.
It could be. It very well could.
Right.
Or it could be you might be born again, Raven, but you're in a church which preaches works.
Right. You may not be seeking out the Holy Spirit when you study. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you don't.
It's like tomorrow, Raven. Yeah. Tomorrow morning at 9:30, Dr. Michael Youssef is going to be on 106.5 from 9:30 to 10. He's speaking, but I'm tuned to man's intelligence rather than the Holy Spirit. Here's what
or to go back.
To, Raven. Stay in 1 Corinthians 2, and I want you to read verse 5. This is the whole problem in the church with born-again believers. We want to go back and believe men over God.
Or to use your analogy, here comes one of the guys that is on the football team, and he's on there and he's listening to him, you know, shout out the changes, but he didn't read the book. And so he doesn't understand the code either.
And hey, that happens. That's funny you brought that up, because I was listening the other day to some guy, I don't know who it may have been, but he was talking about as a professional. He says, I've got to know every play in the playbook, because if the quarterback changes a play and I haven't read that, I'm going to be lost as to what we're doing. No, very good. Football analogy fits very well.
Yeah, so here's this guy. Now, I'm not that up on football, but I know some.
You know what I'm saying.
Right, so here's this guy in the quarterback's calling off, play changes, and he's out there, and all of a sudden he looks over at the guy next to him, and he's thinking, I'm not familiar with that one. So he goes left when he should have gone right, misses the ball completely, and they lose game. Folks, you don't want to lose the game.
No,
because
if we lose the final game, that's when, like Yogi Berra said, it's over when it's over. When that happens at the final judgment, it is over.
That's right. And you don't want to lose the game because you said, you know what, the code isn't that important. The Holy Spirit isn't that important. It's not that important for me to go to the Holy Spirit and have understanding. See, that's what that player thought. I don't need understanding. All I need to do is know what everybody else is doing and be there out on the field and understand football in general. Understand football in general and believe that my quarterback knows what he's doing. I just have to believe in the quarterback. I just have faith in the quarterback. That's all I need. No, you have to have faith in the triune God. You have to have faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let's read the two choices we have as believers. An unbeliever doesn't have two choices. Read 1 Corinthians 2:5.
1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Okay, now go back to 2:2 and tell me how I have my faith in the power of God rather than the wisdom of man. It's so easy to understand.
Right.
You don't need a thesaurus, all kinds of other books, homiletics or hermeneutics. Or, you don't need any of that. You don't need a three-language dictionary.
Right.
You
either right. Determine
a believer. Well, hold on. We've got a choice, folks.
Yeah.
As an unbeliever, we only have one choice, and that's we believe in the power of men, and that's in religion. As a believer,
right. Determine,
you have now.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on. As a believer, you have a choice in the wisdom of men. Your faith is in the wisdom of men or the power of God. Now, how do you make
yeah.
the power of God happen? Read 1 Corinthians 2:2.
For I determined not to know anything among you, Christ
anything.
And him crucified. Yes.
If that's not your main source, folks, you know what you're relying on, even though like Carl, you say, oh, no. The Bible is number one with me. I don't pray to angels and saints. I only have their pictures there as a reminder. Horse hockey.
Yeah.
I'm telling
yeah.
you, folks, if you're finding and you really believe the Holy Spirit, like Raven read in Romans 8:16, the whole Holy Spirit is confirming with your spirit that you are a child of God, and yet you're finding you're failing miserably, you think about this. Are you as a believer? A believer has a choice of who he's going to put his faith in, the wisdom of men or the power of God. An unbeliever doesn't
yep.
have that choice. So
yep.
you either have one or two problems. The one problem, the worst, is your faith is in the power of men because you don't have the Holy Spirit, because your faith is not in Christ, as 1 Corinthians 2:2 says. Now, I say
yeah.
that's the worst. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you're better off there knowing you're not a believer rather than thinking you are because you repeated a prayer after Brother Carl or you got baptized
yeah.
by water, which a very, very astute Southern Baptist minister said today in the middle of a sermon. He said, you're not saved by water baptism. He knows there's a problem. I almost think you're worse, Raven, worse condition. If you believe you're born again, and you may not be, then the person who knows they're not born again.
I agree with you, because that takes you into that lukewarm belief. Yes.
Amen. And yet you're comfortable in it.
Yes. Yeah.
You're
you think you're just fine. You think you're
that's
just
right.
fine. That's where I was. I have talked about this on here before, Carl. That's where I was. I thought I was a believer.
That.
Yep,
I
thought I was a believer.
More,
just moving
I
along.
I think that's more
yep.
hazardous. I think that's more hazardous, and I'm going to be personal here a moment, than one of your
yep.
relatives that says they know they're not saved.
Family members who say, I don't believe. I don't even believe in him. Now, I know they do. I know that
they
believe in
Raven,
God. They're just
Raven,
angry with God.
Raven, hold on. If they didn't believe in him, they wouldn't even bring him up.
Right.
Why
bring up angry with
that
God.
Doesn't exist? Yeah, but why
yeah.
bring up something that you know is phony?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just angry with God. But see, when I thought that I was doing everything just the right way. I mean, I knew I wasn't, but let me change the way I say that. I thought that I was striving to do everything the right way in my own flesh. I was working so hard, and I had all these little rules I had to follow. You know,
mm-hmm.
my dress was correct, and I didn't cuss, and I didn't smoke, and I didn't drink, and I didn't. You know, all these little rules. I just followed everything so perfectly until all of a sudden I got saved because I saw that I was a mess. I was a mess. And the mess I was, well,
I think it's easier to see you're a mess if you're an unbeliever than if you're a phony believer buying some idiot false doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only way that I saw my mess, though, Carl, was, I mean, I didn't really look at the sins, S-I-N-S. I didn't look at the things I was doing wrong. I just saw that I didn't truly have all my faith in him. I had all my faith in myself.
And that's,
I mean, I just saw it.
It
was like this mess.
Hold on. Read 2:2 again. You want to have your faith in the power of God, not men? 2:2 is how you do it.
For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Now, what is the word
determined? I just
determined
saw this blackness.
But what is the word determined? It means that when you listen to an idiot like me who's preaching, it's the environment you're in, or it's Christian life, or anything else, or water baptism saves your soul. When he says that you... And I'm not knocking baptism. I believe in it. I've done it. I think we should do it more often because it is me witnessing to the world or confirming to the world what Christ has done by his death inside of me. But determined means when you hear any of this nonsense, you don't cuddle up to it. You get away from it. You don't say hello.
You make a decision.
You don't greet them. You don't wish them Godspeed. You don't eat with them. Paul said, I don't even give them an hour. So when you're determining something, you better stick to it. Don't just use it because it sounds cute in a Bible study. That word determined is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else it says to me? It says, I made a decision for Christ.
That's it.
Which denotes, and that denotes free will. As opposed to those who would say, I never made a decision. It was all God. No, it is God gives us the grace to decide by faith.
Boy, you're getting into a great topic. A person that you know very well.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned someone said and they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He says we have the freedom to choose,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have control. What he was saying is we have the freedom to choose who we're going to serve. As
mm-hmm.
you're not serving Christ, you're in church and religion, you're serving
mm-hmm.
Satan if you're not serving Christ. You have no free will. You have no control of free will once you determine whether you're going to serve God or Belial. Once you determine who you're going to, you're free to choose whoever you want. But once
mm-hmm.
you make that decision who you're going to serve, you no longer have free will on what you're going to do. Does that make sense?
It depends on what you mean by you don't have free will. Like, what do you mean by that, Carl?
Hold on.
Okay. Yep, I'm hearing. I'm
listening. Free will means there's two statements in the Bible that apparently contradict each other, but they can't because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. There are people that believe, and we had this one added hot and heavy Thursday night. They
mm-hmm.
believe in predestination. They believe in election, and everything, we're nothing more than a slot car in a track, and we can't come off track. Okay, now hold on, because the Bible does say there's election and predestination. But the Bible also says there's free will. The only free will I've got, Raven, and the Bible says that. As for me and my house, we're going to choose God. In 1 Kings 18, 20, and 21, let me go to that. I mean, the Bible is chock full of this. You can't misinterpret it. You cannot want it because it's not what Carl told you. But let me read you 1 Kings 1. I believe it is. 1 Kings 1:18, or is it? Yeah. Ahab went into the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together under Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you falter or halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, who is Satan, if God's not the Lord, it has to be Satan, then follow Baal. That's what I'm saying. You've got free will as far as choosing which master you're going to serve. The minute you do, Christ even said, once you decide who you're going to follow, you're a slave to whoever you follow, whether it be to Satan or to Christ. As long as you determine in your...
I was just going to ask you a question about this here. So I don't think so, because I thought you were saying one thing, but I don't think you're saying this. You're not saying that once I choose Christ, that I don't have any...
Hold on. Now you're clarifying it. As long as you maintain your faith in Christ. Because the minute you take your faith and add it to something else in addition to Christ or take away from Christ, you are now choosing to serve another master, which is Satan.
Okay. I don't think you're saying that I totally give up my free will. In other words, like, I can't make choices.
This came up the other night, too. That the people who say we have no free will feel we're even predestined to wear the socks we want to wear. No, we're talking about, remember, what we read in Joshua, what we read in Kings, has nothing to do about choosing what you eat for dinner, whether you exercise today or you don't. It has to do, what master are you going to serve? Christ talked about that. You're free to choose whatever master, but then whatever master you choose, you're a slave to that master.
Yeah, that's not really where I was going, though. Right. Okay. Let me give you an actual example, okay? So I'm struggling with something in particular right now. A lot of people
glad I ain't the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only one looking at the ceiling at night.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Now, some people might say, well, that's not that big a deal. But
it is irrelevant.
Exactly. So it's I consider it, you know, like sinning against God because it is taking away from him. Okay. I'm trying to give it all completely up to him, but
Even though Raven, we're never going to accomplish 100%, but he wants us to go as far as we can get there.
Right. So I'm struggling with this, and evidently I haven't completely given it all the way up to him because I'm still struggling.
Which we never will.
Right. Well, I'm just talking about this particular thing, though. So when I do it anyway, when I do something anyway, even though, and then later I repent of it, okay, in the same day, but then I do it a few days later. You know what I mean? Is what you're saying that I am at that point that I am, I'm trying to think of how to say this, that I am turning away from Christ?
That you're falling in and out of salvation?
Sort of, I guess.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's go back to what the Bible says. Have you determined that your faith is in Christ, even though at times you vary from it, but in your will you want to serve one master?
Yes.
That's what I was trying to get out of you with determined. We're going to go through bumps in the road, folks. Look at David. Mm-hmm. He murdered someone after an adultery. Peter denied Christ three times after saying, oh, Lord, I will never turn my back on you. The point is, mm-hmm. you've got a free will. I'm going to, even if I, like, who was it? Job said. Was it Job? Being you've read Job more than I have. That I'm going to worship him even if I go to hell. One of them made that comment. The point is, Raven, you, even though you sin, and 1 John says if you say you haven't sinned or you don't sin, you've made him a liar. The point is, mm-hmm. have you determined that you're going to give it you're going to do everything that he can give you the strength to do where you're going to follow one master, even though occasionally you're going to go to the other master, but you haven't decided to serve him. Christ's actual statement is once you determine who you're going to serve, you're a slave to that servant or that master.
Yes.
Raven,
yes.
Hold on. This is where I had a problem with my former belief system. It was a yo-yo. It was a yo-yo.
Yeah.
I could go to confession, come out of confession, which I did, and believe I made a bad confession, and now think I'm going to hell, and I went right back in line to confession. No, it's not a yo-yo. Free to determine who you determine. That means that even though you screw up, you even may sin, believe it or not, you're still, in your mind, you still want to serve Jesus Christ. Christ said it. You have a choice, free. Who are you going to serve? Once you determine that, he didn't mm-hmm. say you never sin again.
Right.
He says that is the master. Because, again, we got to balance it with the Bible. 1 John, these things are written so that you wouldn't sin. But if any man says
and
he
I agree
never
with
sins,
you.
Oh, well, that's – but we got to use the Bible to interpret the Bible.
Right, and I completely agree with you there. What I don't understand,
you and I would not have gotten not only 4 or 5 years of this, we wouldn't have gotten past a day.
Right. Well,
I
think that I am not following where you're saying, and this is why I'm trying to discern it, because there may be other people who are not completely following the one thing that you're saying there. And that is, if you say that I don't have, and maybe I misunderstood this, you said I don't have a free will anymore once I choose Christ. I lose that I've chosen him.
Free. Jesus' own words. You're free to choose which master you're going to serve.
Right.
The moment you determine, okay, now I don't know when you're falling into sin, you may have determined you don't want to serve Christ. What Jesus says is you've got the free will at any time, that's what repentance mm-hmm. is, to turn back. You're serving Christ. You can at any time determine you're going to serve Satan. That choice
mm-hmm.
remains
yes.
yours until your heart stops.
Yes.
But as long as you're serving one master, you're his slave. Because, Raven, the minute that I say that I can't serve another master, I buy into predestination. No matter what I do, I can't lose my salvation. You can't walk away from it. That is not biblical correct at all. No, nothing can take us out of God's care and protection, mm-hmm. but we can walk away from it.
Right, right. And I totally agree with that. But what I'm asking is, you said it's only about serving one or the other, but I can choose. Choose. Right. But I was going to say, I can choose.
Raven.
Right. But even while I'm saved, I can choose to do something really stupid and wrong.
We're not talking about something. We're talking about making the decision like he. Hold on. Let me explain. Hebrews 3:12. Say that. You know what it means by heart.
Yes, Hebrews 3:12. Let's see, how does that start? Beware, brethren,
lest
there be in any of you
from the living God.
An evil heart, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
That's making a decision to change the master. That's not saying you're not going to have a month or 6 months of sin where you backslide.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Raven. Because this is the problem. The people Thursday night were debating. Some say that you have no free will ever. And they're predestined. So they're saying, and one of your big stickler points is you can't stand the fact that once saved, always saved. But that's what they're saying. That's why the one fellow was telling me that someone else honestly doesn't believe they even have a choice of salvation.
Yes, I've heard this too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but go to what Jesus says. Let's go to what Jesus says.
Okay.
Your free will, you're free to choose which master mm-hmm. you're going to serve. Once you determine you're going to serve a master, you're slave to that master. But until you die, that free will is never gone, or there would be no point of repentance.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
See, the way you – here, I'm not saying that my interpretation is right, but if I look at it from any other angle than what I'm giving you biblically, then there's verses in the Bible that don't match up, and we're saying that this Bible, then we say what you hear in every Bible study, Raven, that the Bible contradicts itself. It can't.
I think what I hear you saying, and I think what I hear you saying is we don't have free will in that once we choose Christ, if we blow it, he's going to be all over us like white on rice. I mean,
absolutely.
He is going to convict
issue, Raven.
To bring us
here,
back.
I have the problem is we don't know when you blow it whether you have walked away from him or whether you're just being a reprobate.
Right. Right. Okay.
And see, that's what we want to do. We want to take these, we in the churches want to take these statements and judge other people. We can't. We can only judge ourselves.
Right.
And if you're continuing in sin, you better judge. Have you changed which master you want to serve?
Yes. Yes. Now I understand what you're saying. Okay. That makes full sense.
What we get hung up on. What we get hung up on is because the Bible does say you have free will, and it also says predestination and election. We take one story, and whatever our hero says, we're going to live by that. And the problem is, though, we say the other is impossible. We say it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to find you what I've got to give you. By I've never gone by anything other than what the Bible says. So I'm going to give you exactly and let you read it. Whatever, just bear with me.
It's like the once saved, always saved thing. Then you also have at the opposite spectrum, you have the everything is by works. But the truth is something in the middle, which is, no, it's not by works. No, it's not once saved, always saved. It's actually you can make a decision to walk away from God.
Right. Turn to Romans 6 and read 16 through 18.
Okay. Romans 6.
I want to go by scripture, not by what I think.
I hear you. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But
now,
God be
thanked.
You can
change at any time. Wait, you can change
yeah.
at any
yeah.
time. I'm cutting you off. You can change
yeah.
at any time. Let's just take 16.
Yeah.
Because, but I can't judge you when you do something that's bad. I can't say, well, she's walked away. Or I can't say there's
right.
no problem because she's predestined. She has no choice.
Right.
For those of you folks that this is confusing, just read Romans 6:16. To whom you yourself
yeah.
yield yourself, which is a free choice. You see that? The Holy
yeah.
Spirit. Who you yield
yeah.
yourself to, it's a free choice. But once you make
right.
that choice, as long as you're yielding yourself to that master, you're not free.
Yes. Yes.
Now, you can tell
yes, that
master
makes
to go pound salt or stick in your left ear, like they used to say in the 70s. But until you change what master you want to serve, you never lose your freedom to change the master, or all of the statements about repentance would be phony.
Yes.
The thief on the cross
yes.
would be a lie that he's in heaven. Now, I will say he pushed it to the limit. He was dying on the cross before he decided what master he's going to serve.
Yeah.
Are you sure that you understand it biblically?
Oh,
not
no, no,
me.
I do. I do, yeah.
Okay.
Nope,
okay.
nope, that makes
okay.
perfect sense, yeah.
But, Raven,
yeah.
what was happening Thursday night is you had two factions, and the ones who said you had a free will say that all the stuff about predestination and election is phony, and the ones who believe that they were a slot car attached to the track, they couldn't go off
mm-hmm.
track, they said that there is no such thing as free will. Even to the point of
right.
what you wear.
Right.
The
yeah.
thing we can't do is we can't get our comfort zone and say what the Bible says is wrong. Because the Bible
yeah.
cannot be wrong. It's a stupid Carl has followed what man says. And man said, well, you can't, it's impossible for you to walk away. Don't believe what those,
you know,
those, yeah.
You know, Carl, it's like an accident happened in the middle of the road, and the guy on the left side of the road sees it from his
yep.
viewpoint, and the guy on the right side of the road sees it from his viewpoint. And the cops come out, and they say, from each guy, well, tell me what you saw. And they can't get
yep.
a straight answer because they both saw it from a different aspect.
And
so
then
some guy who was in a building, some guy who
yep.
was in a building way up above comes all the way down and says, I was up on the 15th floor and I saw it from up above. And I can tell you what actually happened. So he saw it from the...
You're using a good analogy. So then we go to court and the judge has to determine who's right. But in this case, there is no judge either other than Jesus Christ. But we're trying
right.
to, Raven, trust me, in churches, in a Bible study, we're arguing with each other that your way is unbiblical. And yet the Bible says
yeah.
there's free will, and it says there's predestination and election.
Yeah.
It does.
Guess who's
going to
be the judge? The one that saw
Amen.
It from up above.
And the one who saw it from up above, Raven, is going to know whether
yeah.
you change your master or not.
Yep.
I'm not going to know it. I'm glad you see it biblically.
Yeah.
He didn't say that you don't commit sin. He even
right.
says in 1 John, if you say you haven't, don't commit sin, you make him a liar. But that does
yes.
not mean, Raven, even if you spend 5 years that you have determined in your mind to serve Satan rather than Christ.
Yes.
The problem is we want yes. to be the judge of you. And now we're going to build a
yes.
new denomination. And I'm going to add something
yeah.
to the Bible that doesn't say.
Right.
I want to judge
yes.
you. even though all I ever heard when I first went to church, Carl, it's not your right to judge, which is biblically incorrect. We're to judge all things. We're to judge fruit, but not the soul of the man.
Yeah.
See, this is where, Raven, painfully, you know my spiritual background. I was the literal person on the yo-yo every day. And this is the frustration.
I'll go further. Scripture says we are not to judge those who are without. We're not to judge those who are not in the church.
Well, you know
Let me give you
a verse that says exactly what you're saying. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I want you to read 1 Corinthians 2, and I want you to read verse 15, period.
Yeah. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one.
Hold on. Stop at the comma. Yeah. He who is spiritual judges all things. Okay, now we're going to talk about judging your morality. Last summer, twice, I drove by your apartment. You were out there cutting the grass, and I saw an empty beer can. And I did it again later in the summer and saw the same thing. I can judge the thing, but I can't do what? What does he say in the same sentence, but you can't judge what?
Yeah, he himself is rightly judged by no one.
There you go. I can judge the fact that you've got a six-pack out on the grass, even though I don't know that that may have been put there by someone else. But in my in my tremendous holy mind, I've got the right, and I'm to judge things, because a lot of times things show you a danger zone. But I can't say that Raven is a reprobate, that she's walked away from God.
Right.
You see that in 15. Judge things.
Yeah. Yes.
But you judge no
judge
man
the fruit.
Because you don't know enough to judge them. That's exactly what you were saying in that analogy you gave.
Yeah. Yeah. And we
this
can't judge
Raven.
People. We can't
That's
judge
what
especially
saying.
Those.
You can't judge people. You can judge that what they're doing is wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Raven, you and I have even been, if we didn't have a certain spiritual gift, we're useless.
Yes.
That's how far we've taken it. Why? Because we want to put our faith in the power of men, including churchmen, rather than what the Bible says. Well, guess what? We have set years ago, there used to be a guy that was a PA announcer for the Indianapolis Speedway, and he would always come out with a statement that the people went nuts for. He would always very slowly say, and it is a new track record. You and I have set a new record today. We spent 1.5 hours, and we have not covered one new verse.
You know what, though? The Holy Spirit leads
fine.
It. You know,
and
I want to go to 1 Corinthians.
Your Bible
I want to go to
1
Corinthians
5. Well, hold on just a minute. Your Bible studies have taught me that. If the Holy Spirit brings you to another place, let it go.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
In 1 Corinthians 5, I knew that there was a I had to look this up because I knew there was a place for it in 1 Corinthians, but I couldn't remember where it was, so I had to look it up. Paul says, and I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 5:11, because he says, I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Now, he says a brother. Then he says, for what
right,
have I to do with judge? Right.
Yeah,
then he says,
believer.
For what have I to do? What have I to do with judging those who are outside, those
right.
who are not Christians? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. He's talking to them about people who are Christians. We can't judge. We cannot judge non-Christians. They don't know Christ. They don't, see, he says God judges those. Those who are outside, God judges. Those who are, if they don't know Christ, they have no way. They have no way of being, they have no way of being righteous, because righteousness comes through Christ.
They can only serve one master. They don't have the option you do. You have the option of serving two masters.
Right. So when we sit here, and you and I have talked about this a lot, on the program. When we sit here and judge all these people who are homosexuals and who are causing riots and violence and all this kind of stuff, and we're talking about, you know, all these awful people and the politics and blah, 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 okay? And we're judging all these people and we're saying, you know, how horrible, but we're not judging the homosexuality and the viciousness and the heresy that's going on in the church. We are doing the opposite.
You're getting into a different thing. You're getting into what Jesus said to the Pharisees at dinner in Luke 11. You make the outside of the cup sparkle, but the inside is full of dead man's bones.
Yes.
Yeah, judge those on the outside, and yet we look the other way when there is a certain denomination's cleric has been molesting young boys for years, and they have turned away from it.
Yep.
Oh,
we don't want to judge ourselves. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about back in the first century. Stop judging the outside. Judge yourself.
You got to. Well, read 2 Corinthians 13:5. And this is written to believers. Now, when I said this the other night, this verse, I could hear people groaning. He's writing this to the church who are believers.
Yeah. Examine yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't say Carl's to judge Raven. I can't judge her. I can judge the things she does. Go ahead.
Yeah. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified.
Which means that you can change who you're going to serve in any minute.
Yep.
Do you realize, Raven, how many church people and the biggest denomination I know in this country would say that that's wrong? You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. And yet they're challenging what the Holy Spirit wrote. Why? Because they want to trust in man, not in what God says.
Yes. We walk around with our chest puffed out saying, look at us. We are Christians. We go to church every Sunday and every holiday. Do you think you are with your homosexual beliefs and whatever else you want to complain about these for? But in the church, we are just as bad. Shame on us.
We are. And we are.
Shame on us.
We are.
Yep.
And the problem is the church doesn't police this. When a person keeps doing the same thing, if Paul says you take two other people and you go to them, and if they won't change, break fellowship with them. But no, we welcome them, especially if they donate money. And I'm not being cynical, folks. I'm being so serious as a heart attack here.
We don't want anyone to know that there are problems in the church. You and I both know of situations where the churches didn't want to know or didn't want outsiders to know, didn't want anybody telling, hey, this has happened in our church.
Yep.
This
Amen.
Happened in our church.
Hey, I'll tell you.
Don't tell.
We are reprobate, Raven, because it's 4:30, I hate to say.
Oh, yep, we have to. Man, that went fast.
So I don't I don't want to get the other person upset. I've already taken a minute of their time, so we're going to just break. But thank you, Raven, and thank you, folks, for listening to us. And just take the Bible verses we read today and let the Holy Spirit instruct you. Don't believe what we say without confirming it with the words of God.
Yes.
All right.
Amen.
Are you going to go tonight?
I'll be there tonight.
Are you?
I'll see you in an hour or so.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks,
thank
you for your time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
Yep.